Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for some 40 years now. So we thank you for that, and it allows me to be here on Wednesday afternoons. I've mentioned a couple of times that Father McKay is taking a break from radio, and he will be back 2 weeks from today on the 29th. He'll be here on the fifth Wednesday of the month when there is one, and so he'll be back on the 29th. In addition to doing the radio shows, I'm the executive director of Our House Ministries, founded by Father McKay, and also serve on the board of the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs. I'd ask you to consider subscribing to my Substack account. It's notsaintsyet.substack.com. That's notsaintsyet.substack.com. It is free. And post the highlights and links to the recordings, to the shows, and try to publish a second article each week. I have been for the past couple of weeks doing a series on some of the prayers that we hear at Mass every day that I think a lot of times we may not be paying attention to. And so I write about those prayers and give a little commentary. So consider subscribing. Again, that's not saintsyet.substack.com. Normally today I would have been thanking you for all you did for the golf outing, but Mother Nature had its way this year, and it's been postponed to October the 27th. So still at Old York Road Country Club. Everything else will basically remain the same, just moving from this past Monday the 13th out to Monday, October the 27th. Did put a note on the website to that effect. And looking forward to seeing you then. I did hear that possibly one foursome, because of the date change, couldn't make it. And maybe you couldn't play golf on the 13th, but you can on the 27th. Give Maureen a call here at 610-527-2906 if you have any questions about the outing. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in the Church of St. Gabriel's at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grays Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from daily Mass, which is at 8:30 in the morning, until approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're going to make a trip down and pay a visit, get in touch with me through the Our House Ministries website, ourhouseministries.org, and I'd be more than happy to meet you over in church and show you around. Without any further ado, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favor the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. St. Teresa of Avila, whose feast day we celebrate today, pray for us. Our patron saints, guardian angels, and all the saints and angels, pray for us. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're calling from a distance and need to call toll-free, you can do it at 888-343-2484. The sun is starting to go down a little bit earlier. I'm not sure about the strength of our radio signal over the air on 800 AM, but a great way to listen to the shows Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern time is using the WTMR radio app if you have a smartphone or a tablet. We're over their website at WTMRradio.com. Comes through crystal clear, and especially as we move towards the change from daylight savings time to regular time, and the signal may get a little bit weaker. Give us a call at the bottom of the hour. We'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. If God's touched you in a particular way in the last couple of weeks and you want to share it with our listeners, we'll take those calls when we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour. So we're in the second month now of a slight change in format. We used to talk about the saints in the liturgical calendar, and we'll still do that from time to time. But we've had guests on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month. And these other Wednesdays, 2 weeks ago, I spent most of the show talking about the first step in the 12-step program. And I want to continue in that series today and talking about the second step. And the reason being is, you know, the 12-step program is a great program for, you know, folks that struggle with addiction. We've mentioned it many times over the years that there really wasn't a whole lot that was new in the 12-step programs, but really a repackaging of the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola for people that struggle with addiction. Now, the founders of the 12-step program, the initial one, Alcoholics Anonymous, had no awareness of St. Ignatius of Loyola. There's a story that when AA was founded, and it actually got its name from the book. So when they wrote the initial book, the title of the book was Alcoholics Anonymous, and the movement took its name from the book, not the other way around. They had talked about some other names, including the St. James Club, because they very often read from the book of James in Scripture. But when a priest in St. Louis by the name of Father Ed Dowling, a Jesuit priest, got a copy of the book Alcoholics Anonymous and read through it, he was one of the first to realize how close the program mirrored those spiritual exercises, and made a trip to New York to talk to Bill W., one of the founders, and asked him if he had ever heard of St. Ignatius, and Bill hadn't. And so the fact that these writings are so similar proves to a lot of us that that the book AA was divinely inspired to some degree, right? That God saw fit that it would be written and would help literally millions of people over the years to recover from addiction. And Father Ed Dowling would even go on to become Bill W.'s spiritual director. Father Dowling was heavily involved in some of the additional books that came out from AA, including a book entitled The 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. That was basically edited by Father Dowling. Bill W. would send him the manuscripts, and Father Dowling would do some editing and make suggestions. And there's a great book called The Soul with Sponsorship that talks about the exchange that went on between the two of them. So all that to say that as the 12-step programs tend to be general in nature where it comes to spirituality, they don't talk about a specific God. They leave it up to the individual to find a higher power, if you will. And so we see in the second step that that's where they start to begin to talk about this power. The second step reads, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And it's one sentence, maybe 10 words, or a few more, but there's so much that that's packed into this. The first thing that jumps out may not be the beginning of it, but actually the last word in the step where we say that this higher power is going to restore us to sanity. Well, if you need to be restored to sanity, then it kind of implies that we're insane. And a lot of people that struggle with addiction don't think that they're insane, right? They realize they got a problem. They're doing things that get themselves into trouble, but they're not insane. Couldn't be insane. If they were insane, they would be in an asylum or put away or something along those lines. So this idea of insanity at first can be something that may run people off. But when you look at one of the definition of insanity that's most frequently used, I think not only do the people that struggle with addiction, not only are they insane, but a lot of people that are walking around on this planet are insane. And the definition used is that insanity is this idea that we can do the same things over and over again and expect different results. And so many people I know, those in recovery and not in recovery, those that, you know, can claim an addiction and others that are, you know, so-called normal people, that all of us at one time or another will try to do something and think that we're not going to get the same effect that we got before. On a grand scale, you think about politics and how the world is led, and communism and socialism, and you know, nobody's got it right yet. I was just reading again in a Substack post that I subscribe to about the millions of people that were killed in the 20th century as a result of communism and socialism, and somehow, you know, some people think that there is a way to implement those forms of government without having all the problems that went with them, that, you know, when they do it, it's going to be done right. I think the same thing can happen in our church, in our families, in the workplace, and especially at the individual level. Sometimes we've got to beat our head against the wall and start to feel the pain before we realize that what we're trying to do is not going to be accomplished by the means that we're attempting to do that. And certainly when it comes to addiction, that's probably a real good area to observe that in, right? So those of us that have struggled with an addiction, and every day, every week, you know, sooner or later, we're going to get it right. We're going to be able to try and do these things that we think that make us happy and not bring about the disastrous results that come with it. Whether it's, you know, alcohol and ending up in prison or DUIs or just the various forms of trouble we can get into, either with employers or spouses or kids. Thinking that it's going to be different the next time. The same thing with people that shop too much and thinking that they're not, you know, they clear up a credit card and then they're, you know, something's got them down and they think that, you know, buying a bunch of clothes or electronics or whatever it is, that's going to make them happy, and they turn around and run the credit card up again. So this idea that somehow or other, when we do these addictive behaviors, that we're going to be able to do it without all the repercussions. And, you know, fortunately, for a lot of people, we realize, you know, sooner or later that it's not going to change, that no matter how we do it, where we do it, why we do it, that the disastrous results are going to follow us. And so when we see that word that we need to be restored to sanity, it becomes tolerable to think of ourselves as being insane. And, you know, maybe not to the level where we can ever get our minds right, that there's, you know, something horribly wrong with our intellect and reasoning, that we'll never get it right, but that we need a change in attitude, a change in perspective. And, you know, that's one of the greatest gifts, I think, that we get when we take an honest look at whatever it is that we're addicted to and try to stop doing it. We use a phrase a lot about this whole idea of perception and, you know, alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever addiction you're involved in. You know, what it gives you is a disease of perception, perception. And so we see things differently than maybe the rest of the world sees them. And so we need to, you know, find our way to right thinking. And oftentimes we're not going to be able to do that on our own. We can be, you know, on a path that has, you know, led us to a place where, you know, we think that that what we're doing is normal, that how we see things is the truth, and you know, just can't see another way. And so we have this disease of perception. And when we finally realize that maybe we are a little off, and that we are perhaps insane by the definition I gave earlier, that and that we finally believe that we can't fix it ourselves, is when we come to believe. And again, this doesn't just pertain to people who struggle with addiction. I think a lot of the people that we see in the pews on Sunday, the people that we see at work, a lot of people that may really think that they believe. I thought I believed. And I've heard so many stories over the years of people that were born and raised with God in their life, whether, you know, they went to parochial school or not, went to church on Sunday or not, had some conception of a God. And but it's not really until I think our lives get twisted up enough that we really realize that we're in situations where we no longer have control. And so we can sometimes make light of it when we talk about control, and you know, we can say, well, you know, nobody's got control of the weather, and you can't necessarily control other people, whether it be family members, coworkers, friends, neighbors, whatever it is. You know, we really don't have any control over them. And so there's all types of things in the world that we thought we have control of, or thought we had control of, when we really don't. And it's when those of us that struggle with addiction, is a real good way of realizing how out of control we are. That no matter what we did or how we did it, we always found ourselves in a bad situation as a result of whatever it was that we were doing. And so many people have tried over the years to fix things themselves, to not have to turn to God. For a lot of people, that's the last person that they want to have to turn to, because they may have a misconception of who God is. You know, hearing about the wrathful Old Testament God that you know, had it in for you, and that you would never be worthy of a God because of the things that we've done in our past. And, you know, God's got so many bigger things to worry about. Why would he worry about the circumstances in my own life? And so we try to fix things on our own. And again, we beat our head against the wall enough to finally realize that, hey, maybe we don't have the answers. And so we find ourselves in a 12-step program, or in a therapist chair, or talking to somebody about what's going on in our lives. And hopefully, whatever the source is that we're going to depend on is going to steer us to God. And again, that's where this second step comes in. Very early on in the first step, we admitted that we had an addiction and that our lives were unmanageable. And now we need to believe, or come to believe, that God's going to be the one that's going to set us free. He's the one that is going to make things right. And That can be hard to believe if you've been brought up in a family, perhaps, where you didn't have great role models, especially in a father. And, you know, we hear, you know, God referred to as Father, the only prayer that Jesus gave us. You know, he refers to God as his Father, talks about his Father all throughout Scriptures. And so I've heard, you know, people doing everything they possibly can, even in mass, to get rid of that Father, and refer to him just as God. And I think that may help people for a while, especially if they're in a situation where they don't have a male figure in their life that they've been able to trust in the past. And so to get there can be quite a leap or quite a jump for them to make. So, you know, that's where I think the 12-step programs, in their wisdom, and again, divinely inspired, I don't think God took himself out of the equation with the purpose that he would never be part of the 12-step program, but rather realized that, you know, people may need to believe that it's some other power that's out there before they're ready to make the leap to him. And it's not what happened for me. I was, you know, I was really blessed the first few meetings that I attended to see the steps on the wall, and I realized pretty quick that my Catholic faith was going to play a role in this, with all the talk of God that's in the steps. And it was really easy for me to look at the Catholic faith. I had been back to church because my oldest daughter was in Catholic school. And obviously, if you're sending your kids to Catholic school, you should probably be going to Mass on Sunday and taking them with you, right? And so we were going to church, and I was more or less going through the motions, I think. I didn't understand a whole lot of what was going on in the Mass and what have you, but I did know enough that when I realized that I was going to need a God in my life, that it was going to be the God of the Catholic Church, and fell back in. But for those that that may have struggled with going to Catholic school and had negative things that happened to them, maybe things within their families, it can be hard to trust anybody, let alone trust a God that you can't see or can't hear directly. We can read about him certainly in Scripture, but it's not like having a person right next to you. And I've had the pleasure of going up to Rhode Island with some friends that are in recovery over the weekend, and more than once it came up this idea that God, G-O-D, was good orderly direction, or especially for those that might be in Alcoholics Anonymous, that G-O-D could be a group of drunks. And, you know, if it may have been just a matter of course that they had to trust that group before they were able to trust the God that group believed in. And so, you know, early on, it can be whatever it takes. I think, you know, here we are on a Catholic radio program with a Catholic radio apostolate, and I never like to assume anything, but I think we can assume that a lot of our listeners are Catholic. And for those that aren't, you really are. You just don't know it yet. But I think that you know, if you've come up in the Catholic faith and have an idea of God, even if you don't completely understand or understand who God is or what the Catholic Church teaches, and that's part of the job that we have here at In His Sign Catholic Radio to help bring you closer to God through the programming that we have. But to come to believe that God really does have your best interests at heart, it can be hard. If you've had struggles in life, if you lost a parent or both parents as a child or a young person, if you've had family, you know, parents that are supposed to be taking care of you and weren't able to because they struggled with employment or squandered money or whatever it was. It can be hard to find a way to trust anybody. And I've heard it more than once that, you know, people that land themselves in a 12-step program, it's the first time that they thought that they could actually trust somebody. And so once you can trust people, you might be able to make that leap to trust in a God. And in the end, that's, at least for me, is what brought me that true joy, that true happiness that I get to experience today. I know there's a lot of people that they'll go their whole lives, whether in a 12-step program or not. They'll claim to be atheists, that there is no God. And there's even atheist groups within 12-step programs where they get together. I've never been, so I don't know exactly what they talk about when they get to the whole higher power thing, whether it's something out there in the cosmos or karma or whatever it may be. But, you know, I would really struggle with that concept, and have, you know, truly been blessed to be born and raised in the Catholic faith. I've heard that from quite a few people as well, people that may not have understood why they, you know, their parents had them baptized as babies and, you know, had gotten away from the faith for a number of years and then come back to actually thank God and thank their parents for having brought them up in a faith, because, you know, that's what they're going to lean on or depend on in order to make it through life. And so we'll talk more in the second segment about that coming to believe, but it really is the cornerstone of the 12-step program, because if you can't get to the second step and believe that, you know, something other than yourself or other people are going to, you know, help you to cope with whatever it is that you're going through, then life's going to be a struggle. And I think for an awful lot of people, it's in that second step where they finally come to believe, that they realize that there may actually be a solution to all of life's problems, not just one with alcohol or drugs or gambling or whatever, but with every problem that we have. And so that's where gratitude comes in. And, you know, tied into yesterday's gospel, or today's gospel rather, at Mass, right, where you have a whole bunch of healing going on, and not everybody's as grateful as they should be. So we're just about at the bottom of the hour. If you've had a "Is That Odd" or "Is That God" thing that's happened in the past couple of weeks, and you want to witness to our listeners, it'd be great to have your call. If have been in a 12-step program and want to use an anonymous name when you call and maybe talk about your experience with the second step, by all means, feel free to call and share about that as well. I don't know that there's a whole lot of formats on radio where that's done. And the whole idea of anonymity can be a struggle for some people, especially because there's a tradition within the program about keeping our anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And I get it. I understand why that is there. And maybe we'll touch on that a little bit too, because, you know, it was really to protect the program. And you've heard me talk now, if you've been a long time listener, been doing these shows for over 11 years now, and I'm pretty open about, you know, who I am and what I am, only because I can, when I do that, I can talk about how great God is, and, you know, witness to other people, especially because of what God has done in my life. I know He wants to do it in everybody else's life. And so to hide it or to keep it a secret is one thing. You know, the other thing is that, you know, if, you know, God forbid, for some reason you tune in on a Wednesday down the road and I'm not here and somehow or other, and I pray to God, and I don't think it'll ever happen where I pick up a drink again, but if I do, it's not God's fault. It's not the program's fault. It's my fault. And so I'll just lay that disclaimer out there that the program has worked for millions of people and will continue to do so. It's in almost all cases, it's something going on in the individual's life that may cause them to relapse and turn back to whatever it is they're addicted to. But it's certainly not because of any fault in the program. So we have reached the bottom of the hour. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or reach us toll-free at 888-343-2484, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the Scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston. Again, I want to praise and thank God for all of you, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. I mentioned at the top of the hour that the golf outing on Monday had to be postponed due to the inclement weather. And it's been rescheduled for Monday, October the 27th. Hopefully you've gotten word and can still make it. I also mentioned that there was at least one foursome I'm aware of that may not be able to make it. So if you couldn't make it on the 13th, but you can on the 27th, then give Maureen a call here at 610-527-2906. And maybe we can get you in there for the 27th. I need to make an apology. I usually take care of getting all the recordings of shows uploaded, and last week I ended up heading up to Rhode Island for the weekend, and didn't get to it before I left. And I'll take care of last week's and this week's recordings between tonight and tomorrow. So by the end of the day tomorrow, they will all be up there. Anytime you miss a show, or maybe you hear a good show and you want to pass along the recording to somebody you know, you can always find them on our website at inhissign.com. If you click on content and then podcasts, you can re-listen to those shows and pass those links along to friends and family who you think might benefit from listening. I always like to give you a quick rundown of the Calix units here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, a great organization for Catholics that are in recovery, Christians as well, even anybody for that matter, if they want to learn more about God, especially as the Catholic Church teaches, then by all means, consider joining us. We get together every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood in South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson. We get started at 6 o'clock with adoration, followed by Mass, and then a Calix meeting on the third Tuesday of each month. And really like to see this grow on the third Tuesday. Everybody's more than welcome. We have a night in St. Gabriel's Church where our Matt Talbot Shrine is. And we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7 where we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. We usually have at least two, sometimes three or four priests there to hear confessions. We open up with prayer at 6 and have benediction as we get close to the 7 o'clock hour and then have Mass at 7. That'll take place next Tuesday, October 21st. And again, that's the third Tuesday of each month. So consider coming down and joining us. We pray for not just for those that are in recovery, but everybody that still struggles with addiction, especially family members who are affected by addiction. The Unit of Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. They'll meet tomorrow night, the 16th. Of October. The Glenside unit in my home parish in St. Luke's meets on the third Saturday of each month. That's coming up this coming Saturday, October the 18th. We go to the 8:30 Mass in the morning with the parish and then a Calix meeting afterwards. Again, that's this coming Saturday, the 18th. And the unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calix meeting. They will meet on Saturday, October the 25th. If you ever have any questions about Calix or addiction or any of those types of things, you can always reach out to me at the Our House Ministries, either email or phone number. And you can find it on the website at ourhouseministries.org. That's ourhouseministries.org. Don't have anybody on the phones. If you want to call us, 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484. In the first segment today, we've been talking about the second step in a 12-step program that reads that we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And, you know, we talked about this, the notion that there's some insanity involved in. I think all of us from time to time may struggle with a little bit of insanity. We fulfill that definition where we do things over and over again and expect different results. I think it happens when we're raising kids. It can happen when we're dealing with spouses and family members, friends, coworkers. You know, we get an idea in our mind that we think is going to work, and it doesn't work the first time, and it doesn't work the second time, and we keep trying, only to realize that hopefully eventually that it's not going to work the way we had planned. And for those that struggle with addiction, that's just the MO, right? That we see people doing the same thing over and over again. And this can be hard in a family situation if you've got kids or a spouse that struggles with addiction. And they... you see them doing the same thing, and you know what's going to happen, and they probably know what's going to happen, but for some reason they've got this notion in the back of their mind that somehow or other this time it's going to be different. And I haven't mentioned it yet today, but one of the things that we've worked on in the last 18 months or so is the making of a film about the life of Venerable Matt Talbot. And our good friend Bill Rose with Joyful Films is the producer, editor, director, and just did a fabulous job with the film. We had a showing of it yesterday at the offices for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia down on 17th Street. And, you know, I have to thank Amy Stoner and some of the folks that made that happen. We were blessed to have, you know, two bishops there to see it, Bishop McIntyre and Bishop Cook. And I thank them for taking time out of their schedule to view it. And along with Father DeLacy, a friend of InnoSign Catholic Radio, and a small group, maybe 25 people that came to see it on their lunch hour. And I got feedback a week or two ago from a good friend who's actually in the film as well, Sheila. And, you know, when we set out to make the film, I had no idea what the final product was going to look like. I don't even know if Bill knew what the final product would be. God had his hand in it from beginning to end. And it started with interviewing a number of us here in the Philadelphia area, myself, our engineer, Patrick Kay, as he goes by in the film, and a woman, Sheila, Father McKay. And, you know, we kind of tell our stories and how we knew Matt Talbot and how Matt may have helped us in our own journey. And then we went to Ireland and interviewed more folks there, my good friend Michael Murphy, Bishop Dennis Nolte, and a couple of Irish priests that played in, you know, thought maybe that the film would just be, you know, these interviews. And then next thing you know, we're reenacting the scenes, not just from Matt Talbot's life, but the lives of some of us that were interviewed. My son Michael got to play the young version of me, and you know, some of the things that I went through in my own journey. But I in talking to my friend Sheila, there was a young lady that that played her role again as a younger person as she was coming into recovery, and the actress that played the role had a mother that struggled and didn't quite understand what addiction was until she played the role in the film. And it changed her life. And I think that that's what we're seeing with quite a few people who have seen the film, people that were interested, not because they struggle with addiction or are in recovery from addiction, but because they have family members. And the insight that you get when you hear the stories of those of us that did struggle with addiction and struggled with this this insanity that we have. And it lets people know that the person that struggles with an addiction, that's doing these same things over and over again and expecting different results, they're not doing it because they want to. A lot of times it's because they have to. And that, for a person that doesn't struggle with addiction, that can be really hard to wrap your head around, because you have faculties of reason, and you know that when you touch a hot burner on the stove that it's going to burn you, so you don't do it. The addict they'll do it once and get burnt, and then the next time, well, maybe it won't burn as much, or maybe it won't be hot this time, and then they'll do it again. And for the sane person, the reasonable person, they often can't wrap their head around the behavior of the addict and why they keep doing the things that they're doing. And it's a really a miracle when they do come to realize that the person's not doing it because they want to, that they've got a mind that's broken, they've got a soul that's broken. They're a broken person, and they're trying to deal with and cope with life using things other than God, and with an idea of reason that's broken. They're not bad people, and I think for people that whose lives are really decimated by addiction, it can be hard to wrap your mind around that. You know, this person tells me that they love me, and yet they're killing me at the same time. They tell me that they don't want to do what they're doing, and yet they continue to do it. They tell us that they're only hurting themselves, and they're ruining the lives of everybody around them. Why don't they see it? And it's this disease of perception that they have. They don't see it as impacting anybody else, that the turmoil that they're going through is the only turmoil, and don't realize that they need serious help. They may in at some point realize that they need help. And a lot of times we can only talk about what we know ourselves to be fact. There's studies out there and what have you that, you know, say in most situations, this is what happens and this is the result. And this behavior is going to result in this consequence or what have you. But until you've actually been through it, you just don't see it. And I truly thought I was only hurting myself. As I say in the film, that I at one point I thought that my family would be way better off without me in their lives. And, you know, the bottom line, it was, you know, somewhere deep inside there is a good person that needed help. And I think where a lot of people struggle in getting themselves into recovery is that as soon as you admit that there's a problem, as soon as you admit that you need help, then you have to do something about it. And it doesn't just have to be an addiction. There's, you know, people in all areas of their lives can be having problems, and they don't want to feel embarrassed by asking for help. They don't want to admit to somebody that they don't know the solution to some problem that they have. I think it's the hardest thing in the world sometimes for people just to ask for help, especially men. You know, we're raised to believe that if we go to school and study hard enough and do the right things, that we can do anything in the world and be accomplished and what have you. And so when those first notions of I don't have all the answers, that there are situations out there that are perplexing and I don't have the answer. And, you know, rather than, you know, seek out help and ask other people that may know the answer, we continue to try to figure it out on our own, and leads down a path that, you know, can sometimes be total destruction. And so it's when we do reach out for help and we talk to other people, especially in the addictive world, and realize from other people when they tell us that God is the answer, that God was the answer for them. It's their witness to others that help the addict come to believe that there is a power greater than themselves that's willing to help them in their problem. We do have a caller on the line, so we'll just take a short break from the conversation here and go to the phones. Hello, Frank.
Yes, Ken. How you doing?
All right, brother. How are you?
I'm good. I got you on, okay?
Thank
you. I got good news, bad news, good news, okay?
All right.
I'll give you the good news first. I turned your show on about 4:02. I missed the first 2 minutes. I turned you on. Next thing you know, I know I was tired. I fell asleep and I woke up. If you got a problem, you have to admit you got a problem. That's the good news, bad news. I had you on. I fell asleep. I missed the first 45 minutes of it. So.
Well, better late than never. And the good news is you can go back and listen to it probably tomorrow afternoon if you go to the InHisSign.com website. Yeah.
That's why they invent after hours clubs. The bar closes at 2:00. You go to after hours club till 4:00.
that's a wise place to go. But that's what we've been talking about. The insanity. You know, all the good times. You didn't have a good time by 2:00. Maybe it'll happen after 2:00.
Ken, I found my buddy the year before we started nursing school taking the prereqs. We're the same age. We like the flyers and we like drinking. Okay.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah. We've done that by accident because we worked like at the hospital as nurses' aides while we're going to school. We got done work 11 or 11:30. time we get to the bar, you have like 45 minutes there, and we found out by accident at the Irish Club. We never heard it before. I go, woohoo!
Yeah, yeah.
It gave us an extra 2 hours or something to drink. We were like 20 years old. We were stupid.
Yeah.
We're both sober now, so
amen.
We both did a good job.
Good, good, good. How's everything else?
You got it first.
Yeah. So you're doing well?
Overall, yes. I mean, just ulcer in my foot. They put me in a cast for a month. I kept telling them every Friday they would reposition the foot. I kept saying, not in the right spot. In fact, in the right spot, not in the right spot. It was, it kind of closed up a little bit. I saw him last Friday, and he thought maybe it was open underneath. So he had to remove the callus that was covering the wound. There was nothing there. So now I got a hole in the foot again.
Yeah.
And they were short of the cast called Total Contact Cast. They had a nationwide shortage. He gave me a week off. There ain't that many casts left on them, so I go back in this Friday. Bottom line is probably another 3 weeks from this Friday till it's closed up again. Just, it is what it is, but, you know, as they say, it's disappointing, it's not a big deal, but I'm not going to drink over. I'm not even thinking about drinking over. It's not even a problem. Ken, I'm blessed with that idea.
Yep.
Things ain't going great, but I don't think about drinking at all. Never. I'm blessed with that. God gave me that gift.
Yep. Before, awesome, brother.
It was something good I drank, something bad I drank. I wasn't sure I drank, you know what I'm saying? I drank all the time.
Yeah, man. I know the feeling.
But and, Ken, if Father Doug's listening, Father Doug, practice your vocal cords. You're going to be on in 2 weeks, okay, Father Doug?
Yeah, I thought he was with him earlier today. He actually thought he was going to be on today, but it was like, no, 2 weeks from now.
Well, good thing I wasn't because I fell asleep today. I would have been mad.
Yeah, there you go. So,
I mean, when's the next month? It has five. It happens, what, twice a year, I think?
Four times a year. So
four times a year?
Yeah.
There's five Wednesdays?
Yep. So he'll be on, he'll be here on the 29th.
I'll tell you what, I'll drink to that. I'll have a glass of Wawa chocolate milk, okay?
There you go. Have one for me.
I'll tell you what, I'll play him then. Have a good one, Gary.
All right, you too, brother. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye now. So, we're talking about the second step, and I thank Frank for the call. He calls in on a regular basis, and, he's one of those guys that, can be a witness to others. I remember years ago when he would call and the struggles that he was going through, and he's still going through it from time to time, but a lot of it, as you can hear, it's with the attitude. And so... the witness that he is to me and the witness he can be to other people to show what God has done in his life is just tremendous. And, you know, Catholic radio is great for this idea of witnessing. The shows all through the week where, the broadcasters either themselves or the guests that they have witness to our listeners as to what God has done in their lives or lives of people that they know. And, you know, we really should see more of that, I think, in our parishes. I've often thought about it. We've got an hour between masses, so maybe, 15 minutes after one mass for a half hour, it'll take you up to 15 minutes before the next mass. You have witness talks. You have people once in a while that get up and tell their stories. We go to church every Sunday. We can sit in the same pew for years with the same people beside us, in front of us, behind us, and we don't even know their names, let alone what their story is. And I've been fortunate over the years to introduce myself to people when I see them on a regular basis and say hi to them when I see them on Sunday, and I've gotten to know some of their stories. And it's in doing that we can see how, God operates in other people's lives. Sometimes we don't see God operating in our own lives. Things may not be going our way, and we can't see God in it. And then we hear people tell their stories and the small ways or big ways that God has impacted their lives. And that's one of the reasons why we have that Is That Odd or Is That God segment, or try to on this show, is to give people an opportunity to show how, God is working in their lives so that maybe you'll pick up on it when it happens. I'm in various situations where I'm asked to lead a prayer, and almost all the time I start the prayer by saying, God, we want to thank you for all the gifts that you've bestowed on us, especially the ones that we don't recognize. You know, God has given to us all day, every day, even if it's just in our breathing, in our heartbeat. But oftentimes it's so much more than that, and we just don't recognize it. We take it for granted, or, you know, think it, that it happens by chance. And I think when, you know, people especially that are in recovery, and you come to realize that nothing happens by chance. Every person whose path we cross is intentional. I was sharing with the guys in Boston. It was a real blessing on Sunday to be able to be asked to get up in front of a couple hundred people and talk for 10 or 15 minutes about my recovery. And it was really about a faith journey. And, you know, once you believe in God and see Him acting in your life, that it's a game changer. And I've learned for over 30 years now to try to live one day at a time. And in the last year or so, with some of the things that have happened in my life, and you know, with the passing of my wife and what have you, that, you know, we can't even take one moment for granted, or at least I can't. I try not to. That every moment that happens in our lives, it comes and goes in that moment. And if we don't act in that moment, chances are that we're not going to, you know, do whatever it was that we were supposed to do. And I was having a conversation with somebody about, you know, things that I don't necessarily hear audibly, but that God writes on my heart. And it, you know, it can be where I'm doing something in my idle time, whether it's watching the television or looking at my phone, and I will hear or I will feel the words, pray the rosary. And in the past, it would be, okay, I'll get to it. In a little while, when I know I have a chunk of time, I'll get to it. And then that chunk of time would never come. And next thing you know, I'm sound asleep, and I get up the next morning, and, you know, I heard something that I was supposed to do, and I didn't do it. And because of the events of the last 6-7 months or so, the lesson there for me was, you know, when you get those promptings, it's don't wait. Don't wait, because the opportunity to do it may not come. And it's an interesting way to live life, because in some ways it's spontaneous, and people, you know, sometimes they'll say that they're afraid to be spontaneous, or, you know, do something on the spur of the moment. And I get it, because sometimes we have to discern where that voice or idea is coming from, and it's not always of God. But once we discern that it is of God, then, you know, do it now. Don't wait. Don't wait. The other thing I shared with them is, you know, something I've learned over the years, and that's that the person that's right in front of you is the most important person in the world in that moment. So many times we think that whatever it is that we're working on or doing is really important, and that God will throw somebody in our path, and, you know, we're thinking that that's just a distraction, when the truth is that either God wants us to do something for them, or He wants them to do something for us. And again, it you have to be looking for it and aware of it, or those moments will come and go. And so we're going to talk about the 10th step 8 shows from now. You know, we're talking about the second step today, but the idea of doing a examination of conscience every night. And one of the ways I do it is to try to visualize all the faces that God put in my path that day, and see if I properly discerned what I should have done for them, or what they should have been allowed to do for me, and then you know, try to do better the next day. So that's step 2. Hopefully you don't suffer from too much insanity, but when you do, come to believe that God's the one that's going to help you to get through that. I'm supposed to be joined in the 5 o'clock hour by John Price from the American Fatima Family Apostolate, and looking forward to that conversation. He's not called in yet, but we'll talk about the apostolate, as well as a book that's been republished by EWTN, called the Eucharist, uniting heaven and earth united. And it should be on for the full hour, and plenty of great conversation going on. So we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back. Don't go away. We will be right back.